and I'll tell you what, there's, and this is one of the things that's a serious problem, is that there never has been any liability shield for you. If you go take the jab under a mandate and you have a bad reaction, you can't sue Pfizer. You can't sue the doctor who gave it to you. You can't sue the hospital, but you can sure as hell sue your boss.
Exactly.
And they have and there is no way under the PREP Act to give private employers a liability waiver. These guys, you want to talk about sticking your neck out on the block. I don't understand how these people are doing this. The only thing I can come up with is that they have their heads so far up their ass with being woke and diversity hires and things like this, that absolutely nobody is willing to come in and you know, stand in front of the board of directors and say, excuse me, guys, this could literally end the firm. You really want to run around and juggle jars of nitroglycerin because that's what you're doing.
I mean, isn't that why you have general counsel? The guy comes in, he's like the bad guy. It says, wait a minute. Yeah.
Well, supposedly, I mean, you know, when I ran my company, we had outside counsel. That was their job.
Right.
Was, you know, to take things that we were doing and look at them. And if they saw something, it was like, hey, asshole.
You know? Yeah, slow it down. Slow it down, Slick.
Oh, and a couple of times, you know, I had Tom, he, you know, we used to go play golf and stuff like this. And he, you know, and I'd tell him what we were, you know, thinking of putting together. He's like, dude, just don't do that.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you know, and I mean, that's why you pay those people but that's the thing, is these were outside, you know, when you have problem with having people within the firm that do it, is that they can get infected with the same wokeism.
Everybody's okay. In the same vacuum. You need somebody to come in and say, hey, wait a second.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, we didn't have anybody that was on salary. We had outside counsel. So just same thing with accountants. Our accountants were outside people. They were people I knew and trusted very well, but they were independent businesses. And I did that on purpose. I didn't want the guys that did our tax stuff to be employees of the company. I wanted them to be people that we contracted with that were highly competent. Because if I was doing something that was close to the line, or one of my other people in one of the other departments was doing something close to the line, I wanted John to grab me by the collar and say, hey, dumbass, you're going to get nailed by the IRS for this. Okay.
Right.
Don't do that shit. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I wanted that capacity. So.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I got another call coming in. Can I hop off with you here, or do you want to do like something on the air? So,
no, I recorded this. Oh.
Okay. Hold on. No, I'm actually good at that. So I just got a text. So, all right.
Yeah. I just wanted to, I wanted to have the right to call you up and talk to you in the future about the different things too. But, one of the things I want to throw you is your feeling on where the hell is stock market's going.
Well, this is way overblown right now in terms of bubble. I mean, my guess, you know, one of the things that I think is going to drive this, that is going to turn into a real problem, is that I've been tracking this since the beginning of the year, is that we are short about 1 million people from where we ought to be in terms of labor, the civilian non-institutional population.
Well, what happened to these people?
Well,
where are they? Are they dead? And they're not reporting it?
They left the country or they're dead. Those are the only two possibilities.
Right.
Once you get to be 16, you are in the civilian non-institutional population. The only way you can get out of that group, there are only three ways it can happen. You can expatriate yourself, you can go to prison or a nursing home, or you can die. If you're not in one of there's only three ways you get out of that list. Okay. That group of people never gets smaller except through one of those three things. So, and that rate, you know, everybody has talked about the graying of America and this and that and everything. But the truth is that expansion rate has been approximately 2 million people for the last 15 to 20 years. There are some ups and downs. We had a small baby boom right after during the recovery of 2000, those people don't show up for 16 years, obviously, right? That's how long it takes to get to be 16. Right. Well, so there was, you know, there's been little echo booms, there's been little echo busts, but there's nothing that correlates from 16 years ago that fits in with this, because that was during a time of expansion. It was coming out of the crash of 2000. All right. So there is no reason to believe that that would be the case. And yet we have seen a steady, literally every month this year, a decreasing rate of acceleration. In other words, it's the number of people being added on a 12-month rolling basis has been going down every month this year. Now, that has never happened before. I've been tracking this data for 20 years, and I've never seen anything like this. The implication here is that we are losing people. And you know, some of that is slop in the data, okay? And the BLS, admittedly, their adjustment month is in January. So we'll see what kind of adjustments they make in January to the numbers over the last 12. But I don't buy that they're going to take all of that back by any stretch of the imagination. I think that kind of thing is lunacy. Any belief that that will happen is nuts. So I think you've got to, and again, the other thing is, if you look at U.S. mortality, there is, in the working age population, there is a substantial increase over where it ought to be. These are working age people that are dying. Now, what they're dying of doesn't matter. The fact is that if you're dead, you're dead. And why you're dead doesn't make any difference to either you or to your loved ones. It also doesn't make any difference from an economic point of view. But it's happening, and it's there. Is this being caused by the vaccines? I don't know. But what we do know is it's not being caused by COVID.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, look, if I drink myself to death, or I commit suicide, or have a drug overdose, it doesn't make any difference why. The fact of the matter is that it is government policy that has driven this, whether it's jabs or something else. There has been a substantial acceleration in people. And remember, people that are young, they typically don't die. Okay, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's very common for people that are 70 years old to die. It's not common for people that are 25. Once you get out of that age where, you know, if you're black and male and live in a city, well, you know, the odds of you getting shot are pretty high. But other than that specific thing, and yes, there's been an acceleration there, but it doesn't account for it by any stretch of the imagination. So, and the interesting thing is, we're not seeing much in the 0 to 24 range. It's all between that and old age people. The old age people are a little below trend, which is expected because, again, we killed them all last year. But the above trend numbers are backing up what I'm seeing in the BLS data. So I'm, you know,
we're not even talking about spikes in disabilities. I mean.
Well, the thing is, being disabled doesn't take you out of that civilian non-institutional population.
Right.
Okay, so that's, you know, these, like I said, there's only three ways you get out of that list, all right? And being disabled is not one of them. So the long-term problems, no, you have to actually be dead or in prison. But we haven't locked up a million new people this year. So I don't like that. And that plus the inflationary impulse that we put into the system. Historically, it takes 12 to 18 months for those to show up in the price level. When you stop doing it, it takes 12 to 18 months for it to stop as well. That bodes very poorly for the next year to year and a half in terms of what we're likely to see. And that's assuming we were to stop it today, which obviously we're not going to. But again, Trump is responsible for the vast majority of this because Biden's only been in office for, 10 months, right? So has Pelosi and Biden and the rest of them done a number on? Oh, you bet you they have over the last, you know, this current Congress. But do remember, Trump put $6 trillion into the economy, when COVID hit, and every last penny of that's on him. He signed every one of those bills.
Well, he also did Operation Warp Speed and everything else.
Well, the inflation that you're seeing right now is caused by him. The inflation you see next year is going to be caused by Biden.
So okay, as far as the market, why does the market stay pumped up? That's a Is it the money the Fed's putting into it? What is it? What is happening? It seems to defy what's going on Main Street.
Well, sure, inflation does that initially. Okay, when you if you look at what happened in the 1970s and early 1980s, there was no problem from the stock market's point of view until things got bad enough that it started screwing people. And then when the wage price spiral started and really got going in earnest, then you had problems. Well, you're going to see the same sort of thing here, is that the liquidity goes in, it has to go somewhere. The old saw about, inflation is always everywhere a monetary phenomenon, which is Friedman's line, is true. And the Federal Reserve, as well as Congress, people like to blame the Fed, but the truth is the Fed can't buy a bond that Congress doesn't emit. So the real fault lies with the 535 clown faces that are, sitting in the halls of Congress. They're the ones that caused that policy to take place. And when that happens, 12 to 18 months later, the bad things come, or the good things. In this case, it's bad things. But if you were to turn it off tomorrow, it wouldn't go away tomorrow. And what will end up happening is that you're seeing the supply dislocations and disruptions. That's part of the driver of inflation. But ultimately, what ends up happening is that you see the dislocation in the credit markets, and that crashes stock prices, because the ability, the bond market is much larger than stocks. It's also much more sensitive to the cost of money and the risk of default. When you cannot produce the products you need at a price that you quoted in the future, the idea of being able to plan for the future goes out the window. If I can't tell you what it's going to cost to make shingles tomorrow, 4 months out, I can't give you a price to roof the house that you're building right now, because you're not going to need those shingles today.
Right.
You need them after permit, you put the foundation in, the framing, everything, then you need the shingles. Okay. Well, if I can't tell you what they will cost, how do you know whether or not it's economic to build the house?
You don't.
Okay. Well, So how many houses do you think you build? All right. You see where the problem comes from here is that if I can't figure out how much an air conditioner is going to cost in 9 months, because that's about how long it takes from the time I plan to put a house up until I actually need the air conditioner, okay, then I can't tell you how much the house is going to cost. And the problem is I want to sell the house. I want to sell it forward. I want a contract to buy that thing, but I don't know what the price is going to be. I can't price my work. And so what you would then end up with is a situation where the contractor gets told by the supplier, all right, you need siding for this. You need sheeting to go on the side so that you can put the siding up of the brickwork or the roof on the top, right? Take it today at this price, or I can't tell you what the price will be tomorrow, or even if I have it. So now what you've done is shift the risk of a pricing dislocation onto the person who's building whatever it is. Because he has to take the product and he has to store it. And when we had the old style of doing things where if you want to make steel parts of some kind, you bought coils of steel or bars of steel and you stuck it in your stockyard or back. We don't do that anymore. Everything's just in time now.
Yeah, everything's piecemeal.
Well, there is no stockyard. There's no back 40 acres where you can keep your back stock. That doesn't exist anymore. Nobody builds anything like that. And so as a result, when these kinds of dislocations come, you're screwed. And what you're seeing is the breakdown in supply in part from that. You're seeing the same thing with the supply chain. You have, you have all these people screaming about the ships sitting off the ports in Los Angeles. Okay, that's nice. Except the reason that they're there is not because people don't want to unload them and take the loads. It's that in order to have a truck to put the full container on, the one that ran halfway across the country into a warehouse that now has an empty container has to come back. And if the guy that owns the warehouse has no labor in there because he's trying to get people to work there for $12 an hour and they're telling them to go screw themselves, all right, then that truck sits at that loading dock for 4 or 5 days. It used to sit there for 4 hours.
Exactly.
Well, if the truck doesn't come back with the empty, there's no chassis to put the full one on. So why would I take the container off the ship if I don't have any way to get it out of the port? That's stupid. Okay. So, all these so-called geniuses are like, well, we'll stack this stuff under the drayage companies in California. that doesn't do anything. The problem isn't there at the port. There's plenty of cranes to unload the ship. The problem is there's nowhere for the stuff to go.
And it's one thing after another. It almost seems, I'm being a little cynical, many of these things are done on purpose, try to collapse whatever. You're talking about healthcare, you're talking about the economy and so on. I don't believe in perfect storms. I don't believe in coincidences and things like that. And there's certainly not being anything done from a regulatory standpoint to improve things. And yet you could argue quite the opposite. It's being done to exacerbate the situation. And and you're out here without a flashlight in the dark as a consumer or as an investor or whatever, as somebody who's trying to stay healthy. And this is where we are. So I'm going to point
all you can realistically do is don't be dependent upon, and I said this more than 10 years ago. I pointed out that if when Obamacare was passed, I pointed out it was going to happen. Okay. That essentially we had gone from 3-4% of GDP within healthcare to almost 20%. That this was done through flatly illegal things, violations of 15 U.S.C. Chapter 1, the anti-monopoly statutes. They've been going on from all the way through, okay? And the reality is that we've done this on and on and on, and we've done nothing about it. It was going to collapse, and so we got Obamacare to bail out the medical industry. We did not get Obamacare to bring health insurance, so-called health insurance, which isn't insurance, it's prepaid medical plan, to the American public who couldn't afford it. What we did was we essentially tried to, again, play cost shift games and more monopolist pricing bullshit. Nobody on either side of the aisle will take this on, Republican or Democrat, absolutely nobody. And when I identified this back in right around 2010, I said, if this is not stopped, it's eventually going to destroy the federal budget because it's accelerating at a rate of about 3 times the rate of inflation. I had noted this as a problem back in the 1990s when I ran my internet company and pointed out to the people who worked for me that, you know, we were getting badly squeezed by the health insurance that we were providing to our staff. And that, you know, all you had to do was multiply this out over the next 20 years. It was obviously going to ruin the federal budget. And there was no way to address it other than stop doing that. Well, we've done nothing to stop doing that. We've just made it worse. And so now, you know, there we got Obamacare. And at that point, I said, all right, if you need, you know, 10 years from now, if you need the medical system, it's not going to be there. You're going to die. It's going to be terrible. You're not going to like the way you go, because you're not going to be able to get the care that you need. If you need to be in the doctor's office every month, you're screwed. And that's just the way it is. So don't do that. Do whatever you have to do to not do that. And if you can't avoid it at this point because you've done enough metabolic damage to your body over the last 20 or 30 years, too bad, so sad, there isn't anything anyone's going to be able to do. Well, now here we are. Okay. And now, sad to say, the government has every incentive to take all those people that are very expensive and let them die, because that's one of the ways you take this off. You know, last fiscal year, this is really nasty. If you think about this, so the fiscal year in the federal government runs September to September, right? September 30th is when. Okay. I haven't looked at the last couple of months, but through the end of summer, the Medicare hospital spend in fiscal year 2021, which started in September, is down substantially over what it was in fiscal year 2020, which, if you remember, included all of the winter and spring COVID stuff. Now, how is that possible that then we went through last winter, which was in 2021, when all those people died? How is it that the hospital spend over that time in Medicare for old people was down? There was not a single jab that went into a single arm at that point. And the answer is they just killed all the people that were running up chronic
pills. They wiped them out.
They killed them. Yeah. And that's, they let them die. Okay. And, you know, the people are talking about death panels. Well, guess what? You got them. And it was called COVID. And that is what happened. I mean, now, you know, you can argue the why, but you can't argue the math. All right, there was very little increase in the physician billing, the physician reimbursements, Medicare Part B, but the hospitalization side was substantially down through the middle of the pandemic. Now, how is, I mean, other than deliberately letting people be killed, how can that happen? Because all of that is old people. Medicare is all oldsters. Okay. Well, that's what they, I mean, I don't care what they try to tell you they care about. All I can tell you is what they actually did.
Same thing played out in the UK. It's a carbon copy.
Well, I don't
copy.
Know. I can't, you know, well, I can't see their, you know, their internal NHS spending data, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's, you know, they've got the same problem we have in terms of cost. And the thing is that the only way you're going to stop this is to break up the monopolists and return medical spending to 3 to 4% of GDP. It's the only way to prevent it from blowing up in the government's face. And to do that means that you have to take the largest and most influential lobbying groups in the United States and literally destroy them. And it also means that 80% means 80% of the cost comes on the medical system, but it also probably means 80% of the employees, all of whom are not doctors and nurses, okay, you know, all the administrative people and the hospital directors and stuff that have their nice seven-figure salaries, all those people get fired. And that ain't going to happen peacefully.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Easy.
So there you go.
Easy in any type of an easy way. In fact, they're trying to get rid of the rank and file folks who are making them the money.
Right. So I mean, that's the thing folks. Is that. Right, but that's what we're seeing. Okay.
So we'll keep an eye on this stuff. I'm going to point people to your website, and I appreciate the interview, man. It's it really sheds a light on a lot of stuff for a lot of people, you know, and Carl, people are confused out there. There's so much information flying around that most of it's crap, as you know, and spin and narrative. So this stuff really helps them drill down on a lot of important things, specifically COVID and this vaccine, which is, you know, I think, and I've said it for a long time, I was saying in May that we're going to have a really dark fall and a really dark winter. When these, when people start showing the after effects of taking the jabs, whether it's they're no longer here or whether they're really struggling to stay here, one or the other, and we're right in the midst of that, and it's unfortunate, but this helps folks understand some of the things I was talking about, and also in another way. So you're to be commended for that research you did, because it's not easy crunching VAERS data.
Well, it actually turns out to be a whole lot easier than you'd think. They just made it non-obvious. You had to be willing to suck it into a database and do it yourself. Yeah.
Well, most folks don't have that capability. They look at it and say, forget about this.
So, well, you know, the funny thing about it is, you know, the data, I mean, in terms of the volume, if you look at it from a standpoint of databases, a database laughs at a data set of that size. Okay. I mean, it's dirt. I mean, all the stuff that I've written and the forum that I run and everything else runs on an instance of the same database software that I use to do this. That data set that was pulled down as a zip file was half a gigabyte, roughly. In Excel, that's a big file. But the database that actually runs my discussion forum is about 60 gigs.
So,
I mean, a half a gigabyte is something that it kind of looks at. Yeah, it just kind of yawns at that. You know, it's like, oh, you want me to do some correlations on it? Oh, that's easy. Yeah, the 2 seconds later, here's your result. But, yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on this stuff, and we'll reach back out to you, and I appreciate it, man.
Anytime. Take care.
All right, man. Take care. Bye.